We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
This hour is being brought to you by EOC Audio, Chicagoland's leader in audio, video, networking, and home automation. EOCAudio.com.
I mean, you know, I'm happy to go anywhere where I'm wanted to be. You know, one of those receivers that they move around, can give me the ball. So anywhere where I'm able to do those things.
The idea of being paired with a rookie quarterback, would that be particularly the same?
Yeah, you know, I talk to Caleb all the time. You know, he always, you know, talks about that I'm a great receiver. So, you know, I'm just waiting till that day to be called, really.
Malik Nabers talking about the quarterbacking and getting ready for the draft. We are getting ready for the draft. In an hour's time, we will start Who's Your Guy, and we will read to you from Dane Brugler's The Beast. So make sure if you got a guy, start thinking about jumping in. That's at noon. Right now, we're going to talk a little bit more about the draft and college football with Rick Neuheisel. We're getting him set up, and then I can't wait to talk quarterbacking with him because he's developed quarterbacks. Like, that's part of his DNA as a coach. And I want to ask him a whole bunch of different stuff, but we're getting him set up so maybe we can have him on Twitch as well, and then we'll get after it. It's a fun week. I'm excited for Detroit, too.
I feel like Rick Neuheisel also observed the college game change in some of the most marked ways in the past, for him, like 25 years?
Yeah, 100%.
He's seen some things. You know, yeah, and where your talent is dictating your system sometimes more than your system.
It's going to be fun to consume this year's draft too. I imagine it's a lot like what the folks in Indiana were feeling, but knowing that Caitlin Clark is going to be the number one pick without any doubt, and Bears fans can do the same thing on Thursday and be like, well, yeah, we know who the number one pick is going to be, and here it is. I wonder, do you think the Bears will use all of the clock? Because I always find that
weird.
I find that weird.
I thought about that with the WNBA draft last week, too.
They used all the clock.
Silliness.
Well, the idea is that you use it so that you can have people talking about your franchise for that. It's 10 minutes of free publicity.
Hey, guys, do you know about this team called the Bears?
Do you know about the Chicago Bears?
Have you heard of them?
Did you know that they're going to draft Caleb Williams? Do you guys what if they don't? What if they run up there with some other card?
Well, studs, unfortunately, that has been a thing the last couple of weeks of everyone trying to generate conversation around the draft are starting to ask ridiculous questions like, are they not going to draft Caleb Williams? I mean, come on.
I thought about that at the combine for about 30 seconds.
Sure. That's the place to think about it.
I'm
proper place.
Are they alluding to somebody else and I'm not picking up on that? As a reporter, I feel like that's a question you should ask.
Sure.
And then Ryan Poles goes on Pat McAfee's show and they ask him about Caleb when he's got a big grin on his face.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know yet.
And then they made all these extra efforts, like meeting with him at the Bird Streets Club and whatnot.
And so, the what sold it for me was Keenan Allen being at his pro day. I was like, okay, this is done.
And his agent in a Death Row Records jacket.
That to me is one of the, I'm so glad that he asked that question.
We really need to ask him about this.
I love that we asked the question and got that answer.
Oh, from Hogue?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that Hogue knew to ask the question. The man is well-trained. Wonder where he started his career.
He also printed out the Beast.
He did.
You tree killers.
Yeah.
It's Earth Day. It's Earth Day and you printed out the Beast.
The paper was already there. I didn't go chop the wood.
That's a good point. Like, the paper's already been available. So the tree's already dead. So now you just got to put the paper to use.
I will say this. I have a request of the people for the ethical treatment of animals. Y'all, somebody's got to corral this tiger ownership thing.
People own tigers?
Man, that's how Tiger King was a thing.
See, that was the whole, like...
There's no regulation on it.
Really?
It's the whole, like, beginning of the Tiger King was, like, how easy it is to get a tiger in America.
And I don't understand why that's not higher on the list of priorities.
Yeah, it's, like, stupid easy to, like, get a tiger.
Just so we're clear, Rick Neuheisel stood us up. Can't find him, Ray?
I don't think it's intentional, because we were texting this morning, so...
Colorado fans are already presumptively mad.
Is it a time zone thing?
I can't make these things any clearer than I do. I'm thinking maybe it's a nap thing.
Is he on that wheels off mountain time? Where some states subscribe to it sometimes?
I love mountain time.
Arizona. No, Central time is where it's at.
I'm a big fan of mountain time, but it is strange to be in Arizona. It's just weird.
They don't always subscribe to it.
They don't ever. Like they don't play around with daylight savings, and I think that they're right.
Well, because
I think it's one of the things that the state of Arizona gets correct.
I actually believe they are correct because it used to be about conserving the energy from lighting, but now that lights have become more efficient, the major energy spend is in heating and cooling.
Yep.
And that is overspending on the hour.
The one that confuses the hell out of me is Indiana, where like half the state is like with Chicago on daylight savings and the rest just kind of isn't.
Well, there's also the issue of
do they also
it's
not
divided between
daylight savings?
Central and Eastern time.
Like yeah, that's half the state is central and half the state is eastern.
Well, that happens where states get split up in time zone.
Yeah,
but Western Panhandle of Texas is mountain time.
But you have the region that is with Chicago on everything, and then like the rest of the state is like, we don't know. We might do this. We might do that. It is fun to. It's one of my favorite things because basically, if we're just talking like straight line mileage, if you went across the lake, it'd be like 14 miles from here to Michigan. Joe Ostrowski is in the building today.
I saw Joe was here.
Oh, happy birthday to Joe. It's his birthday today.
He came into the office on his birthday?
Look at this guy.
Right. He's never here, and on his birthday he comes in? That's
ridiculous.
Should
we ask him about the Bears?
Sure.
I think he's doing a show right now.
But I haven't seen Joe Ostrowski in this building in like four, like pre-pandemic might have been the last time I saw him in the building.
You might be right about that.
Okay, so here's some questions that I was going to ask to Rick Neuheisel.
Wait, hold on. I just want to like button hook this, and then we can go into it. It's like 14 miles across to Michigan, and I love that. Like, have you ever been to southwestern Michigan?
No.
So it takes like an hour from here.
I've only been to Detroit.
So you can do sunrise, sunset on the lake. So you can see sunrise here on the lake, and then you go to Michigan, southwestern Michigan, and you're in the Eastern time zone, which is wild because it really is like 14 miles. And you can see the sunset on the lake at like 9:40.
Guys, I think it's wheels off as hell that we're so far east into the central time zone and that the sun sets super early here in winter. Like that 3:30 thing is sobering.
That's why.
The earliest time it sets in Dallas in the winter is like 5:15. And I used to think that was way too early. This is scary.
That's why I mess with Arizona. I think they got it right.
I mean, somebody has to be east in the time zone. Somebody has to be west too, like Seattle. The sun sets at like 10:30 there.
Yeah, but I'm saying don't change. Like, don't change. I'm good. If the sun sets around 5, we know what we need. We need Hansen. We need John Hansen on. Because John does this. He will tell you about like the sunsets and when the days are getting longer and how they're getting longer.
Oh, John Hansen from the Blackhawks, yes.
Yeah, John Hansen from the Blackhawks, from WCIU, from everywhere else. He's amazing. And I don't know if he's
I
don't know if he's an actual meteorologist, but it feels like he studied meteorology.
Yes, it does.
So did Jeff Joniak, though, strangely enough.
I mean, it's around us all the time.
It is, but that stuff is fascinating to me.
Yeah, if you scroll down on your weather app now, there's a lot of that info as well.
Like,
just
where
not
are they?
As pleasantly given.
But what John also does is that he tells you the terrible parts. He'll be like, oh, the days are going to get longer now from stealing from the sunset versus stealing from the sunrise.
All I know is when I moved here, that 3:30 sunset thing in December was...
It's rough.
Sobering.
It's
and
rough.
And when I used to do the midnight show at NBC Sports Chicago, I'd be going to work in the dark in the afternoon. And that was... I just would look up at the sky in disgust a lot.
So I'm coming up on my 26th anniversary here at The Score. May 8th will be my anniversary. And I used to do the overnight show. So one of the first jobs that I did was filling in on overnights. And that was a real messed up game.
Oh, yeah. That'll take years off your life.
Yeah. And during this time of the year, the one good thing about it is that you would leave and it would be bright sunshine. You walk out and you're like, oh, things are not that bad. But in the winter, good goobly goo. Like, you're like, oh, I'm going to work in darkness. I'm walking out in darkness. Darkness, hello, darkness, my old friend. So you were going to ask Rick Neuheisel what? You want me to be Rick Neuheisel?
Coach, do you think that putting four quarterbacks together in the same room at the same time is a proper evaluation of talent for your football team?
Well, I say that. I don't know. I know that he doesn't talk like that. I say, I wouldn't have done that. By cracky, I would not have made that decision. How dare they do that? I tell you this, ma'am, that's not how you develop a quarterback as far as Rick Neuheisel is concerned.
Just look at me, look at my mustache and think I'm crazy that way.
This is what happens when you have a segment derailed.
I'm just going to let you work things out. I only do on average 40% of this show, not 60 or 100.
Oh, God. Sometimes I do need to work through it, though.
No, you do.
I like what we've done with the time zone stuff. I think that we actually got some stuff done. Wasn't it on the docket at some point that the state of Illinois was thinking about, we're done
yes.
with the whole moving back and forth thing?
It was, I think last year it was in the legislative.
What the hell happened?
Yeah, and it never got through.
Instead of worrying about free money for billionaires, why don't we really start talking about some turkey? Yeah. Take that, J.B. Pritzker. You said you're going to let me work it through.
I am going to let you work it through.
I'm doing the best that I can.
Okay, so we still are getting pushback about the concept of wanting an offensive lineman in the top 10.
Why?
I don't know. I think people forget how dearth the Bears were for offensive linemen.
I mean, I guess you can look in and say, look, Braxton Jones has been, I'll say this, he's been more than reliable.
Yeah, nobody's questioning that part. It's just,
could you get better?
Elite NFL teams have a different level of talent at left tackle.
Yeah. How much would you love it if Braxton Jones was your swing?
I mean, that's it to me. I don't think the question is whether or not there's a place for him.
Yeah. It's definitely not, do you want to cut Braxton Jones?
And I don't know why that's such a sensitive topic.
It is for a lot of people. He was the darling of PFF. I know that.
And every time people talk about it, they're like, for a rookie, for a fifth rounder, for a this, for a that. You're at the point now where that shouldn't be the discussion. I think the problem with the 9th overall pick for me is that, yes, I understand that the receiver is the sexy pick. However, you could make arguments based on previous NFL teams going with a wideout over an offensive lineman that the gamble did not pay off in the ways you thought it might at the time and looked like it might have in the first year or so. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, I think about Cincinnati, but I think the need was different and the fit was different because of Joe Burrow's relationship with his respective wideouts on his team. But I wonder if they regret not investing more immediately in their line.
I wonder that, too. And I wonder how – here's my thing, at least with the ninth pick. What's the gap between how good you think the tackles are versus how good you think the receivers are?
Also, the delta between the current line you have and the current wide receiver core you have and what you think that improvement would make. And currently with Keenan Allen on your team, I would argue the delta is less at wide receiver. Obviously, we don't know what's happening next season with him after the end of the year. But to me, it's still not as great.
By the way, who's your guy is coming up at noon?
Please stop texting us names.
Yeah.
You have to call.
You have to call, because if you text us the name, by the time that we get to who's your guy, it'll already be gone. The text line cycles pretty quickly.
We do our part. You do your part.
Yeah. It's a phone-in segment. You guys are always asking us for more phone-in segments. Who's your guy is like the ultimate phone-in segment. So at noon, we're going to do that. But since Rick's not here, why don't we move on to baseball?
Do you want to do that? It was not exactly the greatest weekend.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about the other team later, maybe. I've got a new domain name that should be picked up by anyone.
Is it whosyourguy.com?
No, although that's pretty good. There's a domain name that we should start right now. And ordinarily, I feel bad about stuff like this, but I don't feel bad about this one.
That is not what we're going to do in the next segment, though.
No.
Who's going to be starting on this team in the rotation in about a month or two.com?
Yeah. Got to fix it.
It's a long URL.
It is. And then hashtag is, we need to talk about it.
I'm all for it.
Let's do that next.
.net.
Here on DJBooth.net. Next, here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Jesus Sanchez at the plate. The pitch. Deep drive to center field. Bellinger looks up. This is going to go. It's gone. Jesus Sanchez and the Marlins strike first. A solo shot to center. It's 1-0 Miami here in the second.
Yeah, that was a bomb that was hit by Jesus Sanchez.
And it was a good pitch.
It was.
Like, I liked that pitch just fine. That was just a really excellent swing on a ball that you made go very far.
Kyle Hendricks. Oh, that highlights courtesy of The Score, by the way.
I think that was one Zach Zaidman.
Yeah, Zach was on the call with Dempster.
Yes, and I wanted to say I pretty much listened to the entire game yesterday on the Odyssey app. Went for a nice walk in the afternoon while I was listening to the game. It was great. They did a great job. Dempster was awesome. So it was a really good call.
I agree.
He's a fun call. Like that's a cool combination of people that I want to hear talk more together.
And Pat was on TV with JD yesterday. Boog had the day off. Was he calling the Sunday night game? Is that why?
Good question. Most likely for ESPN radio.
I believe that's how it usually works. Yeah, Boog does ESPN on Sundays, so Pat usually does the marquee Sundays, and Coombe had the day off, so that's why Demp was in.
Yeah, so but it was very enjoyable. I was listening to it on my way back from my parents' house. I was like, oh, look at my guy doing his thing. Layla, what's going on with Kyle Hendricks?
I mean, the same thing that has been going on. I hate to say this, but you knew that this was a risk that you were going to take when you decided to accept the extension and the $16 million that they put toward it. And it made sense last season. But what we're seeing right now, he's always struggled in April and May. We know that. But this is an outlier even for those numbers. The relative ERA, I think it was high fours for his first 2 months of the year. And then this year, he's now at 12. That's an improvement from 1283. It is down. But to me, what I saw yesterday, and it wasn't just against Hendricks, it was also against Drew Smyly, is the Marlins batters figured out how to work low in the zone and see what they needed to see. And if you're going to throw off speed, you'd better hope that it lands exactly where you need it to go. This is nothing new. We've talked about this a million times. But what they were doing, hitting exactly what they needed low in the strike zone, they weren't searching for stuff up high. That was a nice adjustment they made as a team to get those hits yesterday.
Since we are talking about the broadcast from yesterday with Zach and Dempster on the call, in the pregame, I heard this. Zach talked with counsel about the problems that have been had by Kyle Hendricks. Take a listen to what he said about it.
It's just going out and pitching well and getting people out. A guy that's had a ton of success in this league, and he's going through a tough stretch right now, and he will get out of it. And it's really about he's got to make pitches. There's no secret formula. There's no magic to this. He's got to go out and make pitches, and that'll get it done.
Kept talking about him gaining confidence, that he's got to have confidence. And through four innings, the outing was pretty decent. Then you go, okay, this is – not ideal, but it's fine. And then, like you were saying, like they had a plan. The other part of the Marlins' plan was to swing hard and swing early.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth inning was an absolute blur of runs because guys were getting on base, hitting the first pitch. This is crazy. Studs did a supercut of that inning. Check it out.
Hendricks works his motion. The 0-1 delivery is looped in the left center field for a base hit. So Chisholm leads off the fourth with a single. Bell switch hitter batting from the left side. Here's the pitch. Ground ball, base hit in a right center field. Chisholm on his way to third base. He'll get there standing up. And now the Marlins threatening. Men at the corners. Back-to-back singles by Chisholm and Bell. Left-handed batter open stance. The pitch. Line drive base hit in a right center field. Coming in to score is Chisholm on his way to third base, Bell. And the Marlins take the lead on the RBI single by Jesus Sanchez. It's now 2-1 Miami here in the fourth. Hendricks sets at the belt and delivers the pitch. Anderson swings and loops a base hit in a right field. Coming in to score is Bell. Throw to second in time to get Sanchez, who was not running hard. And they get the force. Let's see if the Marlins elect to challenge this play.
After review, the call on the field is overturned. The runner is safe. Miami retains their challenge.
And the left-handed hitting Nick Gordon at the plate with men at first and second. Morrell in at third. The pitch. Check swing and a pitch low. The pitch. Gordon cracks one on the ground. Backhanded by Bush. Throw to second for one. That's all they'll get. So Anderson a race from the bases. Emmanuel Rivera digs in, caught looking in the third. Right-handed batter, the pitch. A bouncing ball pass, Hendricks fielded by Horner to second for one. Swanson to first, and that throw sails to the left of Bush and bounces off the fencing in front of the Marlins dugout. A run comes in as Sanchez scores, and it's now 4-1 Miami.
So that's crazy to me. Either 0-1 or 0-0 counts. That's when those hits happen. Six batters, nine pitches, four runs.
And I cut that down to a minute 52 for us. That was only about 5 minutes of real time when I first pulled it up.
That's the crazy part.
That's the crazy part.
We could have just played the full sequence without editing if we wanted. We would have had time.
That is wild. Like, I'm watching that play out, and I'm like, oh, they're going up there with the intention to swing early in counts. They're not going to let Kyle get ahead of them.
The defense betrayed him a bit as well.
There was all sorts of weird stuff that went on. Dansby Swanson wasn't quite himself yesterday.
I mean, I don't know where he was throwing that ball in the direction of first.
Neither do I. Like, that was, you would never expect Dansby Swanson to be that far off of a throw. Like, that throw was at the towards the
middle of the dugout.
Yeah. It wasn't even like there wasn't even a chance at first base to make that play.
It was probably 15 feet off of the bag.
Yeah. Which is nuts for him.
It happens.
Sure.
But you don't need it to happen there.
Right.
Of all the pitchers who need your help defensively.
Now, the good thing is if you were trying to like take a say, hey, well, what about this thing? Like for Hendricks, you could say it wasn't like any of the balls outside of the home run were hard hit.
And he liked his pitch mix better.
Right?
And it showed. I will say that I don't know of a modern baseball team who doesn't get concerned anytime a starter faces the third time through the order. But that was... If you need, like, Exhibit A to show anybody and you're a GM on a team and you're like, nah, you guys are pulling this guy after two, there it was.
So we heard from Council pregame. What about Council postgame? Here's what he had to say about the struggles of one Kyle Hendricks.
There's no walks. There's five strikeouts. I do think that, you know, he limited the hard contact
for the
most part. But they strung together a good rally. And we're still looking at, you know, four runs on the board after four innings. So, you know, some good steps, some positive steps, some good innings for sure. Some kind of like took control of the inning type innings, you know, but we need better results, frankly.
The pitch count was still low, but at that point you felt that was as good as you were going to get the rest of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought the game was at a point where with we could go to the bullpen, and with an off day that we had some wiggle room there, and they had a big left-handed section of the lineup coming up.
Okay. There are no good answers for Kyle Hendricks because you're not going to ask him to do anything else. He's not going to be your long reliever, more than likely. You're not going to put him in short, high leverage situations, especially right now. And it's funny because the other thing that Council said in pregame was that Alzolay also needed more confidence and that he was going to use him in lower leverage situations until they feel comfortable with him. So I don't know what you do, but it feels like every time Kyle Hendricks goes to the mound right now, you are starting at a deficit as a team. And that's not a good feeling at all.
Unfortunately, I think he may feel that way. And that's the part that concerns me the most. The work he did last season to come back from injury and get right was so impressive. And I don't think anybody's taking that away from him.
Had they made the playoffs, we would have been talking about that.
Way more.
Yep.
And he got rewarded because of it. But then on the other side of it, when you say you don't have the money to sign certain people, that's when it becomes the issue. Like when the results are bearing out and asking questions that need to be asked.
You want to hear from Kyle?
Yes.
This is what he's focusing on to try and get better.
Progress, you know, just got beat like five pitches in a row there. First pitch, hunting, mostly fastballs there, but still executed a lot mentally, more aggressive on the glove. Just, yeah, put us in a bad spot again. We had to win that game. We could take that series there. So a lot of disappointments, but I got to focus on the positives. The mental approach that I took out there and executing on the glove was better.
Looked at times like classic you, you know, with the change in the curveball, hitting the different quadrants. Did you feel pretty good about that?
Yeah, that was better. It's just tough with the results not being there, you know. It's a results-based game. So it's obviously not good on that end, but got to take the positives in the right direction. Just got to put it together here.
Really focus on the positives. How hard has this been mentally for you?
Yeah, that's where it's at, number one. Mentally, just keeping it simple and trying to stay positive on those things, and then just taking the right mental approach when I'm out there. Today, I had the right thoughts, was on the glove. Miggy was great back there, so just got to stay with it.
That's what Layla was talking about. What is the mental wear on a player when they're struggling like this?
It's also when you know exactly what you have to do, but you don't have a lot of different levers to pull. Like, you can't say, I'm going to take this massive case of red arse and go out there and shove. That's not going to work for you.
Because you can't.
Right. So then it becomes, I need to make sure my mechanics are as repeatable as possible, which means clear mind and confidence in what you have. And I just feel like that's it's a really difficult thing.
And if he misses even by a little bit,
that's it. And
Jacatel time.
And you threw a good pitch to Sanchez that got Jacatel.
Yep. Texter says, do you think Kyle will work as a closer? Absolutely not.
Unfortunately, I think your closer needs to throw straight gas.
Yeah. And
homie.
And the thing is that's the problem. If he can't start for you and give you five, if he can't do five and die for you, the value of him on the team becomes less and less.
Your prayer at this point is in the effectiveness of the curveball to certain matchups.
Yep. And he's throwing it a little bit more. So that, it's like you heard him in the cut say they went first ball hunting. They understood what the sequence was. They understood what Kyle was confident in. But if he can mix it up a little bit more and keep people off balance, and they're not just looking fastball change, and with Kyle, especially at this point in his career, it might be a little bit easier if you're a batter. My plan would be, I am looking for your changeup.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I know that you can't throw your fastball by me.
I don't want to White Sox this, but there is a really good example here in Lucas Giolito. The Red Sox got the book on him, and they're like, cool, we're going to look for your changeup. 12 runs later.
Yep. And he hasn't quite been the same since.
Nope. That Patriots Day start, where he... If you throw 40 pitches in an inning as a starter, I'm pulling you. That to me is one of the most tantamount things to not only injury, but just messing people up.
Yeah.
I'm not letting you get that far.
Hard
I don't
to recover.
Care. I'll explain things later. But at that point, I'm like, nah, you're done.
It's a hard thing to recover from, for sure. I hope that Kyle is able to figure it out. And like Layla said, have the repeatable mechanics. Get back to keeping people off balance. That would be cool. But it's not great right now at all for him.
And unfortunately, this team needs it to be.
100%. Because they didn't do a lot in the offseason. So you need everyone that you were counting on to do it. That all being said, the Cubs are off to a really good start. Now it's a matter of how do you augment this so that it doesn't fall apart. And they're already having issues. You got issues with a starter. You got issues with a closer. And now...
You got issues with your bullpen.
Craig Counsell's got to cobble all of this stuff together.
Meanwhile,
that's why they pay him the big bucks.
Your old team has the highest OPS and batting average in baseball and seems to be doing just fine.
Yep.
Second highest. Sorry. The Braves. They've got a team OPS over 800. Duh. But the second highest is Milwaukee.
Well, they're going to be in this thing. That's for sure.
This echo thing is getting to me.
It is?
A little bit.
Okay.
We're in stereo in our headphones, guys. And it's
a little messed up, but we'll deal. By the way, at noon, who's your guy? Coming up next, though, high noon.
Let me tell you the story of a cat named Thicken Nugget.
I like that.
Not the interesting part.
It's not?
No.
All right. Let's do all of that next here on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
I'm Layla. I'm sorry I'm not Dan. Dan is working on a massive Seder.
He is.
So to all of you who observe, happy Passover. And also happy Who's Your Guy Day. That is at noon. We wanted to talk to Rick Neuheisel, but he's a busy man, so that didn't happen. So we waxed poetic on some things at 11 o'clock. We started by talking about the Bulls, Billy Donovan, DeMar DeRozan, what we thought we heard. And then also Arturas Karnišovas having some hot takes, which I really appreciate, because if the boss isn't happy, it's okay, boss. I'm not happy either. Let's solve it. If there is a problem, yo, we'll solve it. Check out the hook while Ray revolves it.
Ding, 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 ding. See, theirs goes ding, 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 ding. And then ours goes ding, 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 ding. Completely different.
Ryan Poles, you're officially on the clock. Not because it's the NFL draft, but because it's your NFL draft. You got two extra years. Cool. Okay. Whatever. That happened. I'm going to lean into the fact that it did. But now is the time. And maybe when you're mad at Caleb Williams for doing something this season, think to yourself, how did he get there? How? Who put him in that spot?
Who's your guy, by the way, is coming up at noon.
Maybe it's just not about that individual who you're trying to place all the blame on because he's in front of you.
That's right.
So that's it, really.
Hit it, studs.
It almost is, and I've been wanting to do this story for a while because when I saw the headline, 30-pound cat nicknamed Thick and Nugget is swimming his way to his goal weight after being surrendered, I said to myself, hot damn, that's a high noon story.
And it's Grody's cat, Dave.
No, Dave is working on his weight loss journey as well. But
this cat's a little more orange than Dave is.
Oh, and he was really 30 pounds, the poor little thing. But listen, and he's swimming. This is amazing.
Well, you could call him a fat cat, but not for long. A kitty at the Vandenberg Humane Society is growing in popularity on his unusual weight loss journey. Eyewitness News' Cody Bailey introduces us to Ty and his day at the pool.
Your star today.
Meet Ty, a cat whose popularity grows week by week.
Swims super fast and just like a dog.
A cat in a canine's world, Ty is taking part in water therapy at the Canine Aquatic Center, the first feline to do so.
Day one, he didn't know he could swim, and he had a little bit more weight on him. And the buoyancy of the jacket, that's hard for them to get used to. Not always calm, but very tolerant. I wouldn't do it with a whole lot of other cats.
Ty was surrendered in January at the Vandenberg Humane Society, where Mackenzie McKittrick was shocked to see Ty's condition.
We had quite the surprise when we opened up the cloth carrier, and there was a 30-some-pound cat in the carrier.
Ty has been training for 7 weeks, taking part in 30-minute sessions twice a week with Laura Novak, now using a resistive current, and is down nearly 5 pounds.
That's a good boy. He's swimming really well, so wanted to make it a little more challenging, burn a few more calories. So he's doing really well with it.
A lot of people don't realize how helpful water therapy can be on the joints and for losing weight. And he's definitely shown that, how helpful it can be.
His weight not only proved challenging, but threatened his spine. But the changes are visible for Ty, or as he is affectionately called, Thick and Nugget.
Definitely more mobile. He's moving around the clinic more, which is just going to expedite his weight loss.
VHS wants Ty to drop another 10 pounds before being placed for adoption, hopefully within the next couple of months. In Evansville, Cody Bailey, Eyewitness News.
Thank you, Cody, and to that station in Evansville.
But W-E-H-T.
The sad part is the visuals are amazing, so you don't get that with the radio because he has a little jacket on and he meows as he's swimming because he knows he's doing good work.
A little safety jacket, right? Because we don't want anything
Life
to happen
vest.
To him.
Yeah. Yes, it's adorable. It is adorable. That poor cat lost 5 pounds that quickly just because he decided to swim. What made a cat okay with this? I'm not real sure. There's a lot of contradictions in the story, but it works.
Hey, sometimes you can introduce the cat to the water early on, and then they're not as afraid of it.
And he's like meowing as he's swimming to you, like, hey, I'm doing this.
Yeah,
see
are you
me do
like,
this?
Are you watching this? I'm doing
yeah,
this
and I'm
thing.
Like, yeah, we're watching. You're amazing.
Well, and orange cats are just generally extremely look at me. We have an orange cat, and she doesn't shut up.
Okay, I did not know about this personality traits of orange cats thing, but it is a thing.
They're extremely vocal. They make themselves heard.
But they also, according to our friend James Nouveau, may not always be the brightest of the light bulbs. But
that's
they
okay.
just seem so loving.
Can't yeah. confirm.
I like that.
I didn't know there was such orange cat discussion, but Thick and Nugget is an orange cat.
Bronx Tale is one of my favorite movies. It's an amazing movie. And Chaz Palminteri does a really wonderful... He's so great in that movie. The movie itself is great. The two stars of the movie, the two love interests in the movie, are still like friends to this day, and they do really cool like Instagram posts.
That's wholesome.
Chaz told a story about how they and actually the afternoon show should keep this. I'm sure Tanny's probably already heard it.
Well, Tanny listens to everything. He's on how at us right now.
How they were casting the Mush character in that movie.
We couldn't get anybody to play Eddie Mush. He goes, where's the real guy? I go, Bobby, the real guy's about 65 years old. He goes, let's go see him. So I get out of the car and I walk over. I go, Eddie, Bob's in the limo. You know, I go, Eddie, come over to the car. Bob De Niro's in the car. He goes, get the out of here. I'm not walking over to no car. I owe too many people money. I go, Eddie, come on. He walks over, taps on the window. The window goes down. De Niro goes, how you doing, Eddie? Mush goes, holy, it's you, Robert De Niro. Bob says to him, listen, Eddie, I want you to come to my office on Monday. He goes, do me a favor. You're just going to read about 3 pages. Could you be there at 12? Now you would say, of course, right? He goes like this, 12. He goes, can I come at 3? So Bob goes, okay, I'll make it work at 3. He goes, but I'm just curious, Eddie, what's so important at 12? He goes, I got to make the daily double at Aqueduct.
Yes.
And he goes, come at 3. And we get in the car, Bob goes, Chaz, come on. That's the guy.
Yeah.
Man, that's a lot.
That's a lot. It's so joyous. I love
that's
it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I love seeing that and having Chaz tell stories. That was just really, really awesome. That's
authenticity.
Authenticity, very important. That is High Noon. We do it every day around this time. You know what we're getting ready to do, though? We are getting ready to do Who's Your Guy?
I'm just reading texts. They're funny.
312. We're going. Wait, I have to do the thing. Hold on.
Oh,
I have unlocked the phone lines. Who's your guy? We want your guy, and we will read you the scouting
nugget,
report.
Left tackle, Hard Knock University.
From Dane Brugler's The Beast. 312-644-6767. We do it every year. It's time. Who's your guy? Is next on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.